Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Can y'all say that with me out loud? I am crucified with Christ. Can we say it again just for getting our brains? Because if you're like me, sometimes your mind is everywhere this morning and you got to call a timeout and you just got to beat it in your head. I don't know if everybody else is like this, but I have to beat things in my head. And let's say it again, ready? I am crucified with Christ. Now the question is, are you sure? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I want you to notice that statement, I am crucified with Christ. And I want to bring a message this morning entitled very simply this. That statement, I am being crucified with Christ, or dying to the self. Dying to the self. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, and Lord, I want to die to myself this morning. I pray, dear God, that you would bless and that you'd move and that you'd work. I pray you'd break in on our hearts. We need some spiritual heart surgery. We need, as a group, as a congregation, as a preacher, as a people, as parents, as siblings, as whatever stage in life, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as couples, married, unmarried, no matter who it is in this building today and across our ministry, those who are not here, we need to die to ourselves. I pray, Lord, you'd help us today. I pray, dear God, that you'd break in on us. I pray, I know this will not be a lot of amens, an exciting message, but God, we need this. I know I need it. And Lord, I hope that we'll want it. We love you this morning and we praise you and I thank you for all that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. And all of God's people said, I want to read to you a few verses because this is not the only place. This is one of those messages you say, well, Brother Alice, that's just one verse. But we got to ask ourselves, do we believe the Bible's the Word of God? It is the final rule of faith and practice. The Bible is true. Amen? And you don't have to turn. I'm going to give you several verses that will go along with what I'm saying. And my outline is only 3 points. Not 77 subpoints, but it's only 3 main points. All right, Lord, I'm trying. God knows I'm trying. But in Romans chapter 6, the Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now, Christian, before I go on this morning, let me say this to you. Those who have been saved understand that when a person is saved, they still have this old flesh that we deal with. Now we know that the three great enemies in our life are the world, the devil, and what's the third one? The flesh. You mean to tell me, I was thinking about that this morning, even after I already prepared this message, that God in his infinite wisdom puts and declares that our old sinful flesh is on the same level of wickedness and sinfulness of the world. And by the way, don't we know this world is a wicked, sinful mess? I mean, y'all probably seen it in the news reports all week of a place like Disney that used to be Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Innocence. Now they're promoting and pushing gay characters. And I thought, will it ever stop in this wicked, sinful world is a mess? We know that the devil is a mess, obviously. I mean, how do y'all know the devil is a mess? When I say mess, I know that's a euphemism we use. It's the devil. And then the Bible says that our flesh that you and I carry around is on the same level as the world and the devil. I think sometimes that we as preachers have failed, I have failed as your pastor, of getting across how powerful and wicked that our old sinful flesh is. Now, when we get saved, we are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But we still have this old carnal flesh to deal with. The Apostle Paul talks about this. The book of Romans deals with this explicitly. And when you see Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, go back and read. I'm going to just be able to not get all the verses. But we see here the teaching in the Bible is that you and I are to die to ourself. When a man is saved, when I say man, I'm talking about men, everybody. When a human being is saved, when they get saved, Jesus Christ takes up residence. But they still have that old flesh. In fact, our text, look what it says. It says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. I'm dead, I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm still living. I believe Jesus Christ, and so I'm dying to myself, but yet I'm still alive. I still have this body. I still have to sleep and eat and work and do. I still have this body, but yet I'm dead. But I'm alive, but I'm dead. But I'm alive, but I'm dead. That's what it teaches. Now, there's many verses about this, and I'm going to read a few of these to you. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and daily and follow. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now we're living in a world today that says it's all about you. And even Christians, I see the mantras that they live by, power of positive thinking, and I'm okay and you're okay, and I don't care what anybody says, it's all about me, 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 me. That is not biblical. In fact, my Bible goes on and says this, for whosoever will save his life, our Savior said this, shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. In other words, when you live for you and you and you, and it's all about you, you're actually going to lose your life, Jesus says. By the way, there's nobody else in all of religion, which we know that Christianity is not religion, amen, that teaches what Jesus teaches here. Jesus says it's about him. In fact, let me go on. We're just beginning. It also says, verily, verily, look at John chapter 12, I say unto you, our Savior says this, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and, anybody remember, die. Set the fall ground and die. It abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. When you plant that little seed in the ground, you know what that seed has to do? For it to bear fruit, for it to come up as a stalk, or as a plant, or as a sprout, or as a tree, or as a bush, or whatever it is, it must first die. We don't like this. You're not going to hear this on a lot of television broadcasts today. The fastest growing churches in America are not preaching this. They're preaching that you can have your best life now. That you can live for you. And it's all about how happy and excited you are for yourself right now. But my Bible says, and my Savior says, the one that died on the cross for me, that unless I die, then I'm not going to have anything. Totally opposite of humanism. Totally opposite of the power of positive thinking. Totally opposite of the narcissistic, selfie generation. We don't like it. In fact, there's a part of me, I'm like, Lord, am I supposed to even preach this? In fact, Jesus said, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Taking a cross, not a headline, not a job promotion, not a look at me, but take his cross. Take the burden. Take the ugliness. Take the things that nobody wants. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. Colossians 3:3, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. The Bible says that we live,
Romans chapter 12, give our bodies as a living sacrifice. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creation. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. I could go on and on and on. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. This is not exciting. In fact, as I prepared this and I started thinking about it, I heard we were with the couples that had some great lessons and messages about couples and families and homes and how men ought to treat their wives. And I just kept hearing again and again, and the Lord just kept speaking to my heart, is if you didn't live for yourself, you wouldn't have near as much trouble. Basically, Brother Bates said, men, quit being selfish with your wife. I mean, that's really the summation of our weekend. In other words, don't live for you and your couple and your home. Make it about her. And I want to back it up even further and say, why don't we quit living for us and think about us and think about Christ? Let me read to you some famous statements here if I can. In fact, let me say this. Let me give you three thoughts by way of a message, because this is not a homiletically perfect sermon, Brother Austin. This is not a sermon I would tell somebody to go study this for become a preacher. But I want to give you three things this morning I want you to think about. Number one, when you talk about dying to yourself, Apostle Paul says, I die daily. Number one, you got to say no. Hey, I remember back in the 80s, some of y'all are a little older, some of y'all young people don't know this, but they had a campaign because it's trying to stop drugs. Now, they should have went to where the drug cartels was and took some of them out. But anyway, that's different. That's politics. But they had a campaign in America that said this, just say no. How many remember that? It was all over. They put a little green sticker that said, just say no. And I mean, they made fun of it. But really, the premise behind that really is a premise that you and I as Christians, we believe. Because we can set up everything, but sometimes you just got to say no. And part of dying to yourself and dying to your flesh is say no. In fact, I wrote several areas that we need to say no to. Number one, we need to say no to our flesh. When's the last time you told yourself no to something? I want to read to you an interesting quote by a very well-known, in fact, I guess would be called a legendary preacher. He said this, Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, have you realized, and this is talking about dying to yourself, dying to your flesh. Now listen, church, I want to slow down. I want you to get this. This helped me so much. Can I be honest with you? I wish somebody told me this a long time ago. I wish when I was struggling, maybe being a jerk to my precious wife, that I'd had this in front of me. I wish when I was complaining and being a baby and being depressed and whatever it may be that I was doing, that I had this in front of me. It would have really helped me a lot. Not because it's about me, but because it's about Christ. He writes this. Now, this is a man, but I love what he says. Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life, listen to this, this is revolutionary to me, is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself. He goes on. Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they are talking to you. They bring back the problems of yesterday, etc. Somebody is talking. Who is talking to you? Yourself is talking to you. Now, this man's treatment in Psalm 42 was this. Instead of allowing this self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. The psalmist writes, why art thou cast down, O my soul? His soul had been depressing him, crushing him. He stands up and says, self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you. Did you know the Bible is teaching us that you don't let your emotions, you don't let yourself run rampant. You say no to that. I read that. I was like, I wish I'd have heard that many times. Do you know how many times I've woke up before, had problems from yesterday, or a burden from yesterday, or a burden from last week, and Brother Kevin, go over and just grab that thing like a sack and say, oh yeah, that's right, that's horrible. Let me carry it again. Because I kind of get used to it. Oh yeah, Cindy's back's hurting. Somebody's mad. Somebody's sad. Somebody's upset. I'm broke. I got a kid going to college, and not a very good preacher. And so I'm listening to the same thing over and over, instead of dying to the self. Oh yeah, that's right. The boss said he needed to meet me today. Instead of dying to the self, whatever it is, I don't know what it is in your life. And I read that, I thought to myself, oh my. You have got to look. You've got to say no to yourself. You've seen people. I've seen them. I've watched them. I stopped the other day. And I held the up here at the gas station, held the door up for a lady. I was trying to be very kind. You know, I am a preacher. So I was trying to be kind. I held the door up. And she came in. And I think she knew I was a preacher. And she went right into the store. It's a lady now. It's the middle of the day. Y'all forgive me. I don't want to be judgmental. But she went right into the store. And she bought a 12-pack, 24-pack, 187-pack, I don't know what it was, of beer. And she stood there looking at me like, the preacher held the door open for me, and here I am standing here. And I thought to myself, I just looked, and I thought, really? And I thought, man, lady, if you'd die to yourself, you wouldn't have to do this. I don't know her. I'm not condemning anybody. I thought, man, we're just living for ourselves. We're living in a self-centered age. We're living in a time where nobody wants to have that and say, man, what are you doing? What are you thinking? When's the last time you said, no, I'm not going to let my flesh do that? When's the last time you told yourself no? You got to say no to your flesh. In fact, he says this. Let me read this to you. Along these same lines, the main art in the matter of spiritual living is to know how to handle yourself. You have to take yourself in hand. You have to address yourself. Preach to yourself. Question yourself. You must say to your soul, why art thou cast down? What business have you to be disquieted? You must turn on yourself, upbraid yourself, condemn yourself, exhort yourself, and say to yourself, hope thou in God, instead of muttering in this depressed, unhappy way. And then you must go on to remind yourself of God, who God is, and what God is, and what God has done, and what God has pledged himself to do. That having done that, end on this great note, defy yourself and defy other people and defy the devil and the whole world and say with this man, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, who is also the health of my countenance and my God. You have to say to yourself, it's not about what I think about me and myself and my agenda, but I'm going to have to defy myself and maybe defy others, maybe defy somebody around me, maybe whatever it may be. I may have to defy the television and defy the media and defy what even I think or even what my parents have taught me and go to God and say, God, my hope is in you. You see, we got our hopes in liquor. We got our hope in self-help. We got our hope in the whatever, you know, working out, the tanning, whatever it may be. We're putting our hope and faith in the stock market or money or, you know, I'll just look out for me and mine. And listen, it won't work. It doesn't work that way. In fact, when you think you found your life, you get to the end of that and say, man, I did all that for what? We got to say no, church, to our flesh. We got to say no to ourselves. We got to have a conversation and say, oh, no, you don't, Brother Dallas. You know, I've been married 28 years. Amen. My in-laws, Brother Kevin, how long have they been married? 55? That's a long time. You know, when you go to a couple's retreat, you think, oh, man, they ain't going to tell me anything. I done got this thing licked, amen. I don't know if y'all like that. I don't think. I mean, I got that John Wayne. You got that John Wayne syndrome? It's me and you, pilgrim. Bring it on, preacher. They ain't going to tell me anything. I got in there and doggone if they didn't get spiritual on me. Amen. They say, they give us homework. Go back in the hotel room. Of course, we got no cash. And that's really why we went. But anyway, but we got back and we started having a conversation going on. Now, I'll be honest with you. There was a couple of things that I had to. My wife's not in here. Can I be transparent with you? I had to apologize. I had to say, honey, I just want to tell you something. And I won't get into the details about it. It wasn't anything major. But I said, I owe you an apology. Not an apology because we're at the couples retreat and I'm just trying to be good. But a genuine, hey, I'm really sorry. I'm going to tell you something. It has helped me tremendously to learn to say, I'm sorry. Brother Austin's here, and Brother Jacob knows about this. He's boys on the ball team. I'll give you just another example. It has nothing to do with the marriage. Let me get some. Can I be transparent? Y'all all right? Can I just be transparent with you just a minute? Y'all not going to get mad at me. Don't hold it against me. Somebody bring it up 10 years from. You remember that time you said, don't hold it against me. God's already helped me with it. Amen? That's between you and the Lord. Anyway, this year at basketball, me and Austin got into a, I don't know what you call it, we had a disagreement. I didn't think anything about it. I'm his dad. He does what I say. Amen. That's what I said at first, and we went home, and I'm just going to be transparent. Austin just kind of, he was more upset about it than I thought, and I tried to defend myself. I was like, well, tell you what now, that redneck, I don't know y'all got that redneck. I know y'all got some of that redneck in you. Amen? We call it redneck because we try to make it sound good. It's really old wicked flesh. Come on. But I have that in me, and I was like, well, bless God, I'm just a pastor, and I'm the coach, and he just needs to shut his mouth. And then, boy, I sat there in my chair. And the Lord started saying, big boy, you're wrong here. You ever have that happen? Don't get mad at me. I was wrong. It wasn't a big deal. In fact, I think the kids kind of like, what are they talking about? But it was a big deal between us. And so I said, Austin, you know what? I'm sorry. And it was hard for me to do this, but I got the boys in the locker room. Jay, you remember this? He's laughing because, brother, that's what they're doing. Now, I got them. They all look at us laughing at us. I mean, they're like, what? But I said, I want to apologize to this ball team for the way I spoke at practice yesterday. And they looked at each other like, what are they talking about? But I knew it, and Austin knew it, and I wanted them to know it. I'll be honest with you, man. It was a release. We smiled and had a good time. I was so glad I did that. I can't say, can I be honest with you, church? Can I be transparent with you? I can't say I've always done that. I wish I could say I've always died to myself and I've looked at my wife and said, whatever, sweet pea, I'll make it right. I wish I could. I wish I could have always, I've told Houston so many times, son, I'm so sorry if I was too hard on you, I was too harsh and said something. I heard myself in a video that I was listening to say something to Houston, and it has bothered me so bad. I wish I'd have never said it, and I didn't mean it bad, but well, I heard myself, and I thought, man. I heard him say, Dad, I'm so sorry. And it has bothered me. I'm talking about dying to yourself, church. Y'all think I'm a weirdo or emotional or crazy. I don't care, to be honest with you. Because I put my arms around him, I don't know I love him. If I got to die to myself to get that right, I'm going to die to myself. I wish I could go back again and again. And when I got mad, or when I got upset, or when I got hurt, or I get sad sometimes. Anybody here get sad? I get discouraged sometimes. I wish I could go back all those times and say, Dallas, don't do that. Dallas, don't say that. I wish I could take an H.G. Wells time machine and go back and say, Dallas, you dummy, don't do it. And by the way, it's not always horrible, horrible things. It can be petty things, little things, peevish, as Mr. Spurgeon said. Y'all forgive me. I wish you could. I wish I could just say no to flesh, to self, to pride, to ego. Hey, how about this? Preconceived notions. Well, we get those in our head, don't we? We think. We get assumptions. Everything's bad. Everybody's. It's not true. You know what I do sometimes? Can I confess this to you? We went through a split in the church a few years ago. This is not a secret. I got in my head that everybody in the world was against me. I don't know why I'm telling all this, but I got it in my head. Everybody would look at us, what are they up to? Man, I was stalking everybody's social media. I was looking for everything. I don't believe a word they say. I caught them whispering. I watched them. I could see them. I mean, I was like a hawk. Finally, I said, Lord, that's just not true. That's not accurate. You know, the devil will lie to you. Can I say this to you? Can I help you here? Can I help me here? You will lie to you. You will lie to yourself. That's not true. That was not true. Even if you got a partial right, it does not mean you're always right about all of them. Oh, sure, there was some. Sure, I wasn't totally wrong, but I was far from being totally right. I had to get them preconceived notions out of my head. I mean, it's a joke in the school. Somebody comes and says, what's wrong now? That's really a bad attitude. We have it in our culture, West Virginia. Well, you know, everything's going to be bad, everything. We know it's going to be bad. Hey, the economy's been bad since I was a little boy. It's always bad. Catch yourself. Think about this. We've had a mild winter. Have we not had a mild winter? Have you caught yourself doing this? Look out for March. I've heard you in this church. Why? I'm doing the same thing. I'm like, honey, you wait. About March 20th, we're going to have a storm. Am I right? Why is that? Because we think that way. We can't. And part of it is common sense. Part of it's because what you've went through. But you can't let what you've went through dictate what's going on now. Because we're crucified with Christ. Things are different now. We sing the song. Hey, preconceived notion. Hey, defenses. Hey, the world. You got to say no to the world. See, the world says you got to look out for you. Grab all the gusto you can get, the beer company says. Just do it, Nike says. It's all about you. It's all about your life, your best life now. You go to Walmart, you'll see certain authors and certain, it's your best life now. Power of positive thinking. You can be, you are special. You can be somebody. And that, hey, look, you're special because of Christ. Number one, you got to say no. Number two, you got to submit to. This is where it gets a little tougher. You say, well, that's right, preacher. I'm just going to say no. I've been letting some things get to me. I'm going to say no. I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit being mean. I'm going to quit being honored. I'm going to quit being ugly. I'm going to quit doing some things. And by the way, we all can do that. And if you think you've arrived, hey, you need to die every day. I've noticed this. Have y'all ever noticed this? I can make things right with my wife, and she'll get on my nerves again on Monday. Amen. She's still crazy. I'm still nuts. Y'all right? How many of you ever said, oh, bless her heart? And then, you know, oh, bless her heart. Oh, my goodness, bless her heart. Because you have to keep doing that. You have to keep doing it. We still don't like the same TV. That hadn't changed. She's still a Steelers fan. Y'all pray for her. I mean, it hadn't changed. And so you say, what do you mean, Brother House? I still have this old flesh. You say, you mean you're a preacher? You shouldn't ever get mad. Really? You ought to hear some of the stuff I've heard. I wish you could go with me a week and hear the things that have said to me. I wish you could see some things I've said. I'm like everybody else, too. I get cut off in traffic. Amen. And I love my babies like you love your babies. Amen. Hey, just because you've been saved a while because you're a preacher don't mean you're immune in your feelings. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care how long you've been saved. Everybody has. And so you've got to submit. Let me read to you a quote here. I found this by a man by the name of D.L. Moody. He says this: there is no harder lesson for man to learn than the lesson of humility. It is the rarest of all gifts. It is a very rare thing to find a man or woman that is following closely the footsteps of the Master in meekness and humility. Did you know a humble person is almost impossible to hurt? It's almost impossible to overcome and to defeat a humble person. Have you ever been mad at your spouse or mad at somebody? And you may, I've paced before. I'm paced on my porch. Now, when I go in here, we've got a green door at our house. When I go back by that green door, that Cindy's hung something stupid looking on. But anyway, When I go in there, let me think about this. Let me think. I'm going to let her have it. I got to really rehearse it. Anybody ever do that? And then you go in and her say, "Hey, sweetheart, I sure do love you." Man, it was not what I wanted to hear. Whatever it is, hey, when somebody's humble with you, well, I tell you what, if you can see the point, somebody says, "Hey, it's all right. I love you." Huh? Wait a minute, I want to hold a grudge. I want to have some leverage. I want to be mad. No, I love you. It's okay. That's the way our Savior is. Mr. Spurgeon said, "Do not desire to be the principal man of the church." He said, "Be lowly, be humble. The best man in the church is the one who is willing to be a doormat for all to wipe their boots on. The brother who does not mind what happens to him at all, so long as God is glorified." There was a person that they don't attend this church anymore. And I watched them in a private setting, and I knew they were kind of, I don't know how to say this, they were getting ripped off financially. And I knew it, I could see it, and I was trying to help them. But I watched with humility this person kind of take it on the chin. God used that in my personal life as their pastor. And I remember thinking, "God, I don't think I could ever be like that. I'm so humble about it." And I looked and I said, "Look, I don't agree." I remember looking and I said, "I don't agree with everything that you're doing. But I will tell you this, somehow, some way, with your spirit and attitude, God's going to get the glory out of this." And he did. And I can't get into all the details, but I can tell you this. It has had an indirect impact on this church. I mean, it's an amazing. I've seen it happen again and again. When somebody's willing to say, "You know what? I'll die to myself. I'll be the one that says, I'm going to submit to God." But it don't always make sense. George Mueller, the famous preacher that so many wonderful stories are told. George Mueller's the man that would not take any donations and prayed for God to provide bread for his orphanage. And a bread truck would break down in front of him. That's the man that y'all have heard of that man before, maybe. He said this in a quote I came across. "There was a day when I died. I utterly died. I died to George Mueller, his opinions, his preferences, his tastes, and his will. I died to the world, its approval or censure. I died to the approval or blame even of my brethren and friends. And since then, I have only to show myself approved to God." He said, "I died. I was willing to die. I was willing to give up all that I am, all that I have, all that I think I have a right to." This is what we live. Secular humanism has taught us, you have your rights. We almost treat it like, we treat church sometimes like it's some type of political manifesto. I've got my rights. Can I say to you, I'm that way sometimes in my home. I'm that way sometimes. I wish I could go back and say, "Lord, I've never done that. I'm the dad. I'm in charge." Whatever it may be in your life, if you're not careful, you'll let that humanistic philosophy come in. You say, "Well, that's, is it a big deal?" Let me tell you something. You study history, you'll see people like, oh, you may have heard of this guy, Adolf Hitler. He took the teachings of not dying to yourself and going the opposite of that and caused a nation to follow him. And you know what he really built that whole thing on was? Is they, as a world, the world did us wrong in World War I. And by the way, they kind of did. There's some truth to what he was saying. And so they got so self-defensive and so self-driven that they were willing to put other human beings in a holocaust and in gas chambers and kill them because a man got up and fueled their own self-egotistical pride. And they said, "Yes, we will follow this man and we'll do what he says to do." Hey, we've got people today, if it's about us and me and mine, they'll follow anything. Let me tell you something, friend, that goes contrary to the Word of God. So we say no, submit to. And then we, number three, we stand on. He said, "Yeah, but Brother Dallas, what if my husband is wrong?" Brother Dallas, what if somebody at work is wrong? And by the way, can we be honest? They are. You ain't always wrong. We went to this weekend, and I mean, it was. You know, husbands really had a hard time this weekend. And it's not always the husband's fault. It's not always the wife's fault. I mean, we all can chip in on some blame. Can I get an amen? We all can chip in on. Hey, do you think I've been your pastor now, male, like 18 years, 20 years on staff. I am not naive enough to know that I haven't made at least one mistake a year. That's 18 right there. Y'all look at me, one mistake a year? Are you kidding me? How about one mistake? I probably quoted the wrong verse about every Sunday. Can I get an amen? Don't say amen, but anyway. We all going to make it. We all in the same boat, amen? Well, then what do we do? Let me give you this. Stand on. Let me give you three things real quickly. We got to stand on the promises of God's word. We got to stand on. Sometimes as a preacher, I'm like, I say, now, Lord, I'm trying to stay true to your word, but it seems like the folks that ain't staying true to your word, their churches are growing and they're popular and everything. And if we're not careful, we'll let our flesh. I've done that. Now, Lord, I know what your word says. But it seems like everybody else just don't care. And it seems like they're going great guns. And it's like the guns are pointed at us. You say, man, that marriage over there, man, they don't go to church. They're having a big time. And they're just doing great. That family over there, man, they just seem like they're doing wonderful. We're trying to do right. They're not doing right. In fact, David said this. He said, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, he said, my feet, I'll put it in my own words, had well nigh slipped. He said, I'm about ready to just throw in the towel. By the way, when you start comparing yourself to others, you'll throw in the towel. But you've got to stand on the promises of God's word. We stand on the promises of God's word. Right? Our text says, nevertheless I yet live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, I can love my wife, I can love my children with the love that Christ gives me, not the love that the pagan family give me or that I was trained to have or because I'm a hillbilly, but because of the love that Christ gives me. I stand on his promises. We got to stand on, secondly, the preciousness of your relationship to Christ. Now, let's remember this, church. Before you get mad and upset or whatever it is that's going on in your life, before you... And God knows your heart, everybody in this room. Always remember where your relationship to Christ is. What would Jesus do? We got to always say to ourselves, now wait a minute, I got to remember, I represent the Lord. I represent Christ. Can I say something to you? I look at Christians and churches. Hey, can I say this? Preachers, I'm a preacher. I'm not going to criticize preachers, but preachers, missionaries. And I want to look and I say, well, what are you doing? Have we forgot who we represent? Well, I'll do what I want to do. I'll do what I want to do. That's not biblical. I'll wear what I want to wear. I'll go where I want to go. I'll say what I want to say. You can't tell me what to do. You're holding me down. I call it dying to the self. I call it dying to your flesh. By the way, you'll never go wrong going for God anyway. He's not going to mistreat you. He's not going to. There's a lie that says, well, you Christians are so condemning and so hard-hearted. That's simply not true. Don't believe that lie of the devil. You see, the devil wants to exemplify the negatives and shout the negative things, and we whisper the positive things. I was sitting there at the couples retreat, and Brother Rick Childers was there, and Brother Leslie was there. There's a lot of people that were associated with our church there. And I knew their testimony. And I knew it was that had led them to Christ. And I knew what they had done in people's lives. And I sat there and I thought, I wish everybody could see the impact of Cook's Chapel Baptist Church. We hear about the negative things, sure. But I sat there and I heard Brother Leslie's wife, they have their children in the school and talk about how their children are getting a love for books. And I sat there crying, talking about how one of the boys had read a book and was soaked in the rain. But because of the love for books, they got it. Pipestone Christian Academy is sitting there and their life is being transformed. And I sat there and thought, man, what a wonderful thing. And the devil, we whisper that and we shout everything else. I sat there and I thought to myself, Brother Rick Childers and Brother Austin's one had really pushed that. And Brother Rick was led to the Lord on the bus route from Cook's Chapel. And we forgot what we're doing. We forget how wonderful it is. And sometimes when you get mad at your spouse or mad at your brother, sister in Christ, or mad at your children, sometimes if I get aggravated, Brother Austin said something. When I was talking to Brother Bates about him being a preacher, and he's like, man, how wonderful that is. And it hit me. I was like, that really is wonderful. How wonderful it is that we've got this church. My wife has some back problems, but she's still a good kisser. Amen. How wonderful. He said, you shouldn't say that. Well, I'm going to. Because if we're not careful, and look, don't misunderstand me. That has been a burden to us. We've spent countless hours and time and worry and pain and prayer. I'm not dismissing that. I really am not. She probably won't be able to come to church now out of pain. But I sure am glad. I think sometimes we forget how wonderful we have it. Anybody lose their power this week? Can I tell y'all that's miserable? And I'm sitting there thinking, all I want to do is sit down and relax in my green old chair. Give me a cup of pop and just sit. But if the lights ain't on in the freezing cold, it ain't near as fun. How many of y'all know this? You don't realize how wonderful electricity is until it's gone. And I was like, somebody said, electricity is overrated. I said, no, electricity is underrated. It is wonderful to have lights and to have heat and to have heat pumps. And can I get an amen? And sometimes our marriages, our homes, our children, our churches are living in America. I mean, y'all realize that you go to I like living in West Virginia. I love coming back home and seeing the mountains. It always tickles me to go somewhere and say, yeah, up there on that hill. And I said, honey, I ain't seen a hill for 3 hours. We talk about a hill. I love West Virginia. I said, man, how wonderful it is. How great we have. We forget how it's always that's bad and that's bad and that's negative. Sure. But if we're not careful, we forget how precious our relationship to Christ is. And how precious that is that we know the Lord. How precious it is that Brother Kevin and little Blakely had a birthday. She's going to be taught about the Lord. Because of Mama and Papa and a great-grandma and great-grandpa will raise him up that way. Little Pastor, we already tell him about the Lord. Already tell him what a precious thing that is. Some of your children and grandchildren find the Lord. And let me say this, we need to stand on the power of God to die to the self. Can I say this to you? I can't do it. I looked at this, I said, right here, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Paul said, I die daily. Did you know that if you don't get up, some folks that never go to the altar, never get right, never pray. Did you know if you don't die daily, your mouth can come back. Your attitude can come back. Your temper can come back. You say, man, I've gotten victory over anger. Don't die daily and watch how quick that anger comes back. Well, I've gotten victory over lust. Don't stay in your Bible and pray and stay in the church. You watch how quick lust comes back. By the way, I've noticed this. Lust and anger are hooked together. Watch out. We've got folks that have so much anger problems. They ain't in churches because they're mad at everybody. Let me tell you something, friend. If you don't die daily and you say, man, I can't do that. I can't. Hey, you're going to have the power of God. Lord, you're going to have to help me, God. I've had people say, bro, I don't see how you do it. I don't see how in the world you've done that. I haven't. I've had to say, God, shut my mouth today. God, calm me down. Lord, intervene some way that I don't even know you can intervene. Because if you don't, I'm going to spend some time in prison. God, if you don't, this is going to go bad. God, I need you to intervene in my Christian life. Let me say something to you, church. If we don't get back to dying to ourselves, no matter, and look, wherever you're at in life, say, well, it's not for the kids. Yeah, it's for teenagers. Well, I've been married. Hey, I don't care how long you've been married. I've counseled too many people been married for years in a total unhappy relationship. I don't care how long you've been saved. You know, you can be saved for years and your Christian walk can get well out off kilter if you don't die to yourself. Preachers have to die to their self. I don't like being transparent. I'll go home today and say, why did I say that? Why did I bring that out? I'll be embarrassed because I let myself in my flesh. I'll have to, this afternoon when I go home, I'm going to the hospital after church, but I'll have to die to myself. Oh, I said, Lord. And I have to, it's so hard to say, man, quit being embarrassed. Hey, it's so hard. But let me say this to you. If you don't, and you live for your flesh and the world and the devil, you will end up as in a mess. We read our Bibles. We see Christians. We see, hey, people that wouldn't die to the self. In fact, you remember Jesus looked at his disciples. He said, would you not tarry one out? Could you not pray? You serious? You really love God? You really love me, you say. But yet you can't give me an hour. He's talking about Jonah in Sunday school class. He said, awake, O sleeper. Jonah, away from God. I wonder this morning, where are you at? Where are you at? I preached a few weeks ago. Are you tired of limping? Are you tired of yourself? Oh, we can get tired of everybody. Let's just be honest about it. It's me. Let's all stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, I tried to bring the message you put on my heart. I thank you for